Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better healthcare. Learn more at nm.org/better.
All right, This Week in Health, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. I'm Wendy Snyder with you on a Sunday morning. And let's say hello to Dr. Sri Kamanduri. Am I close to pronouncing that correctly, doctor?
That's perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Dr. Sri Kamanduri, Director of System Integration for the Digestive Health Institute at Northwestern Medicine. We're going to talk about this new Center for Advanced Endoscopy at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. First of all, I want to start by saying I have had a colonoscopy. I think I'm actually due this year, so I will make an appointment. And I have had some digestive issues, so I just my doctor did an endoscopy and a colon. I just got all my oscopies at the same time, which is a good way to do it, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's fantastic.
Yeah, and it's important to get these done. Let's talk about GERD. Let's talk about acid reflux. Let's talk about some digestive issues and what they can mean and what an endoscopy can find. Why don't you tell us how important an endoscopy is?
Yeah, so I think that's a great example. You know, when we look at a lot of these symptoms, our biggest goal is to be preventative, right? Early detection of anything that might lead to cancer. And, you know, reflux or, you know, GERD or heartburn, all these things are pretty important for the esophagus, and esophageal cancer is one of our fastest rising cancers in GI. And it's, you know, unfortunately, we typically, when we have reflux, we think of heartburn, but a lot of people just don't even have traditional symptoms. So people can have lots of reflux even when they're not feeling it, or have sort of atypical symptoms like a chronic cough or, you know, hoarseness. But on the other side, to your point, if you do have symptoms, you know, a lot of times we take things like this as not just part of life, you know, that you're having some heartburn and that's just normal. But if it's chronic, it really could be a sign there's some inflammation going on that could lead to esophageal cancer. So that's where an endoscopy helps us identify things early. And that's where a center like ours, which focuses on treatment and minimally invasive ways to, you know, cure these diseases before they become cancer.
And there are things sometimes that they find that it's like a baseline, I guess. I have a bit of an esophageal hernia. Is that what that is? What is that called?
Yeah, so it's called a hiatal hernia.
Oh, yeah.
So these are, you know.
And so that's something that was found when I had an endoscopy. What is that exactly, and is it treatable, or do you just monitor it and see if it gets worse or not?
Yeah, so that is one of the main reasons. So the hiatal hernia is part of the stomach, and people get a lot of reflux, have this hernia, which means part of the stomach just kind of goes above the diaphragm, and it happens to a lot of people, and it creates like a reservoir where acid can accumulate. We treat reflux mostly with medication and diet and things, but there are many times where that just doesn't cut it. And in the past, you had to have a pretty big surgery that, you know, doesn't really always work and can cause lots of side effects. And now we have lots of minimally invasive endoscopic ways with a camera, like endoscopy, to actually correct these anatomical defects, so people don't need to be on a lifelong of medication.
And you can have like mine doesn't really bother me. I didn't even know I had one. They just found it when I had an endoscopy. So that's not necessarily a thing that's going to bother you, right? I mean, it just depends.
No.
Okay.
Correct. And that's why we want to be thoughtful about not doing things if it's, you know, again, if we don't need to fix it, we don't fix it.
Right. Now, is like colonoscopies, I know that colorectal cancer is on the rise among young adults. And didn't they drop the age for colonoscopy?
Yeah. And, you know, we've seen a much higher incidence between 40 and 50. So they dropped the screening to 45.
Okay.
And that's, you know, in fact, that age group is something we're seeing with all GI cancers.
Why is that? Is there any hypotheses? I bet it's because we eat crappier food. And, I mean, I can't think of anything else. Environmental? Do they have any idea?
Yeah, it's definitely the environment in many ways. I think the processed foods plays a role. Mm-hmm. I think genetics plays a big role, too. But at the same point, things are catching up to us. And, you know, but the good news is we do have lots of ways to identify our risk factors and really help people early.
All right. So, yeah, we all know, you know, you're supposed to get a colonoscopy now at the age of 45 instead of 50. Is there a recommended age for your first endoscopy, or do you not need one unless you're experiencing issues?
Yeah, it's a great question, because that's what we're battling with. It really hasn't been cost effective to do screening, because even though the esophageal cancer is rising, it's not prevalent enough to make it, you know, friendly to insurance companies.
So, can I just ask you, what is friendly to insurance companies? Anything?
Exactly.
Good God.
So with that said, there are, you know, what we're really pioneering are some non-invasive, non-endoscopic things you can do in the office that are screening tools that are, you know, approved for esophageal cancer early detection.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then can we talk about some of those non-invasive screenings and the new Center for Advanced Endoscopy at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage? Can we do that next?
That'd be great.
Sounds perfect. And if you have any questions about acid reflux, GERD, any intestinal issues that you may have, we're here for you, 312-981-7200. Wendy Snyder with you on a Sunday morning, and this week in health, we have Dr. Sri Komanduri on the line with us, and he is the Director of System Integration for the Digestive Health Institute at Northwestern Medicine. So this new Center for Advanced Endoscopy, it's at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, one of only a few standalone advanced endoscopy centers in the U.S. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, what exactly can patients find when they go to this center?
Yeah, so this type of a center, you know, goes a little bit beyond what we were talking about with, you know, routine screening of colonoscopy and upper endoscopy, which is done everywhere. But what happens when you find something? Diseases like early cancer or some of the endoscopic treatments for reflux, and then all the way to our most exciting new advancement, which has been endoscopy or endoscopy approaches to obesity, so bariatric type procedures that don't require surgery. So these are more what we call therapeutic or more advanced in the sense of the skill set for the endoscopy. So these are traditionally procedures you would go to an academic or university medical center in the city. And what we wanted to do, and this aligns with our NM vision for the entire healthcare network, is really bring these types of procedures into the community so people don't need to travel.
Wow. Well, that sounds great. When you do get a colonoscopy, sometimes there are polyps that are found and they're removed right then and there. Is that kind of the same thing with when you have endoscopy, when you have that procedure? Are there things that might be, are there polyps there too, or?
Yeah, so all of these, you know, whether in the upper or lower GI system, you find early cancers or precancerous lesions that are large. And these are not always things that our average gastroenterologists want to deal with. And so where years ago you would just have surgery, and these are big surgeries, no longer is that needed. So we at the center will do a lot more of these complex techniques to remove early cancerous lesions of both sides, the upper GI tract and the lower, and the esophagus and colon. Without any kind of surgical need.
Wow, that's great news. All right, we have some listeners who have some questions. Lynn is on the line. Hi, Lynn, did you have a question for Dr. Komanduri?
Yes, hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I had an endoscopy, and they found Barrett's. And I'm like super healthy, active person. And so my doctor put me on a PPI almost like forever. And I'm just not really comfortable about that. And I wonder if you could talk about PPIs and, you know, using them long term.
And I'm just jumping in. Barrett's esophagus is a condition, and I don't know what PPI is. So, doctor, this is where you jump in.
Yeah, so it's a common thing, and the good news is the risk of cancer from just, you know, Barrett's esophagus is extremely low, and it's actually much more common in men. So when we find it in women, it's even a lower risk. The reason they put you on the acid medication is that's the one thing we know that can, if we don't control acid reflux, and the PPI is a proton pump inhibitor, it's your traditional drugs like Nexium and Prilosec you see in the store. It's the one thing we know that can help reduce progression of that disease. But that being said, what we do always want to do is minimize that to the as much as possible and see if we can get you off the medication.
Okay. And in going off of it, I've heard it's, I've been on it like 2 months and, I mean, it works great. You can eat whatever you want. And I guess that's why people stay on it.
And 2 months is not really that long when you think about it.
I know, but I'm looking forward to, you know, how long, you know,
doctor.
It's just a discussion, I think, with them a little bit. And we were just talking about some of the procedures that can be done endoscopically now. And a lot of those we do to get people off medication. And honestly, Barrett's is a great place to think about that because you really, that means you have a significant amount of this reflux to cause that injury. So sometimes a longer term anatomic solution that's minimally invasive is a better option than medication.
Maybe, Lynn, you should stop in the new Center for Advanced Endoscopy. Are you near Central DuPage Hospital at all?
I'm not, but I did go through Northwestern. Or do I just have to stop drinking coffee and red wine? You know, that's the problem.
That might be it. Lynn, good luck to you. What do you think? Should she stay away from the coffee and the red wine, doctor?
Yeah, it's a, you know, dietary. These are all triggers for reflux. You know, my philosophy is really about moderation. I think you still have to live your life, but I think a lot of us, you know, drink a lot more coffee and wine than we think we do. So it's just kind of bringing it down.
Yeah. All right. I think we have time for one more question. Bonnie from DeKalb. Hi, Bonnie. You have a question about GERD?
Yes. Well, I think it's GERD. We don't really know the doc. I did a manometry at Central DuPage. I think the doctor might know about those things. And they suggested now an endoscopy with Botox. And so I'm a little concerned. I've tried every single PPI. I started with omeprazole, with esomeprazole, whatever, and then rabeprazole, and none of them are working. And so so now the Botox thing, I'm a little, if you could explain it a little bit more, I'm still, you know, how long does it last? I know Botox, if you get injections, it doesn't last, right? You have to get it again. So what's the long-term outlook for getting treated with an endoscopy and Botox?
Yeah, so to kind of boil that down, that sounds like you have a contraction problem in the esophagus, and it's actually not reflux. And so the Botox just relaxes the muscle.
So that's why the PPIs aren't working.
Yeah.
Correct. And we generally don't actually use the Botox much anymore because we actually have better procedures endoscopically to correct those problems. But that's something that obviously someone would have to dive into more detail. But that's kind of why the medication probably doesn't work.
There you go.
So the Botox is something that would work, though, even if it's temporary?
It's very temporizing. Yeah, very short-lived, like you said. But we kind of walked away from that because of exactly what you said, is that it requires too many reinterventions.
So what's the next step then instead of the Botox?
Hard to say completely without knowing what they were looking at, but, you know, usually it's a procedure called a POEM procedure, P-O-E-M. It's a endoscopic cutting of the muscle that actually solves the problem of the contraction issue. But that might be one thing to think about.
Yes, you should definitely look into this and head over to the Center for Advanced Endoscopy. That might help you out, Bonnie. Although you're in DeKalb.
Thank you. It's okay. We travel all the time.
Well, excellent. Yes, it is the Center for Advanced Endoscopy at Northwestern Medicine, Central DuPage Hospital. That Botox, it's funny. They are using it for a lot of things, like if you clench your jaw when you sleep, it basically paralyzes the muscle. So, yeah, with some contractions like that, that's why it was being used. And no wrinkles in your esophagus, so that works out perfectly. I read something, doctor, about a connection between GERD and asthma. Is this a recent development?
No, you know, it's a not common, but it can happen. You know, people with reflux, like, you know, can have regurgitation or acid coming up into their throat, and then it kind of goes down into the airway. And so that can happen when people sleep or exercise. And then because of that, it causes the same kind of irritation that makes it hard to breathe and causes reactive or inflammation in the airway. So that's, there is an association at times between asthma and reflux.
Someone has texted, is there a is stretching of the esophagus a common procedure if you're having an endoscopy?
It's not common, but it is, I mean, common if you have a problem. And sometimes people can get reflux causing narrowings because of scarring. And then it's a pretty safe and easy solution. So we do it frequently, but I wouldn't say it's common in all folks.
All right. And let's see. I think let's talk to Kathy real quickly here. Kathy, we have just about a minute or two. You have a question for Dr. Komanduri?
Yes, I do. If I have bursitis in the, like the hip area, can it cause pain in the intestines, lower abdomen area?
That's a great question. A lot of abdominal pain does radiate from the hip joint.
Really?
In the sense, because the same, you know, it's kind of like when people get back, you know, nerve problems, it radiates across to the front.
Oh, yeah.
And the hip has the same sort of thing, but so abdominal pain sometimes is actually related to a musculoskeletal injury. I'm not quite sure about bursitis, but it wouldn't wouldn't shock me if there was some relationship.
All right, thank you.
Wow, I had no idea about that. And I have for some reason I had a test on my gallbladder and it was functioning at 2%. Now we don't need our gallbladders, and my doctor was like, "Well, why don't we make an appointment to get that removed?" And I said, "Okay." And then my husband goes, "Is it bothering you?" And I said, "No." And he goes, "Then why are you getting the surgery?" So I, of course, said, "I don't know." And I waited. Well, then I had a full-blown gallbladder attack and had to have emergency surgery on that, which is very common. What do I need to know about not having a gallbladder? And why do we have one if we don't need one?
Yeah, it's just an organ that helps store some of the bile, which helps kind of work on diet cholesterol and some food digestion. But you can store a lot of it in your liver, and that's why you don't necessarily need it. But once it's removed, most people don't really need to make any adjustments. It really doesn't bother people. In some people, if that bile can't be fully stored in the liver, some of the salts that are associated with it can cause people to have bowel changes like diarrhea. And so if that starts to be an impact, that's something to think about. And there are medications for that.
Interesting. Well, thank God. I'm knocking on wood if I could find some in the studio, but I haven't had any issues. And why do we have an appendix? Why do we have that too? We don't need that, do we?
No, and there's a lot of things like that serve subtle functions, the appendix, and they're more for the immune system. But I think ultimately there are other organs that kind of, you know, suffice without it. And so, yeah, probably just something in natural selection that we were born with.
Interesting. All right. Well, I think listeners should, is there a website that we can send people to find out more information about this new Center for Advanced Endoscopy at Northwestern DuPage Hospital, Northwestern Medicine?
Yeah, if you just search the Center for Advanced Endoscopy, it's at Northwestern, it pops up, or if you just go to nm.org and type it in, it'll get you right there.
Thank you for all this information, Dr. Komanduri, Dr. Sri Komanduri, Director of System Integration for the Digestive Health Institute at Northwestern Medicine. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate the time.